This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sarah. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
And good morning on a Tuesday, broadcasting from an igloo this morning. Jim Costa, John Jansen, Heather Park. We've got Gov and Greg behind the glass, and you heard Jeremy Otto on the updates.
Yeah, we were done. Somebody adjusted the Doug Karsh thermostat.
It's quite cold.
It's a little chilly, yes. But we will survive.
We obviously. Will. We got heat in the building. It's
how
good.
How hot was it outside this morning?
Ooh, it was nice.
Ooh, it was nice, yes. But it was a little muggy.
It was
a little steamy. I think today's going to be a little steamy. It's supposed to be, what, mid-80s today?
Yeah. We're officially retired the jacket now, right? We're done with.
Oh, the jacket's been retired for some time. But I want to make sure that last year, I mean, you had started and the tested AC. Your AC early. Do we actually know that it is operational? Because it's going to have to operate at a high level today.
I was just talking to Heather off air about this. Must have been, what, Friday or Saturday this last weekend. We got a little warm, and I did tinker with it. Because you know me, I'll tinker with the thermostat. And
I did put the thermostat. You're not tinkering with anything else.
No.
Yeah.
A couple buttons. That's my level of expertise. And I did put the AC on, but then I screwed up because I left it on and I woke up and it was 62 degrees the next morning.
You had it on Friday.
Yes.
The Saturday morning was cold.
Oh, it was. Yeah.
So I woke up and I'm like, can I see my breath? What is? Oh, I left the AC on overnight. I should not have done that.
Well, okay. You left the, what the AC had nothing to do with it being 62 because you didn't turn it down to 62, did you?
No, but if you don't turn the heat on.
You don't need the heat at that point. Just enjoy the nice.
No, but I should have switched it down.
You should have turned the air up.
Yes.
Well, if
I should have adjusted the thermostat.
Yes.
If it was set at 68, the AC had nothing to do with it.
No, but some people have, you could do auto where you can set a temperature and we have that setting, but typically we toggle between heat and cool. And if you don't put the heat on, heat is never going to kick in. So it's just going to get cooler and cooler without the heat kicking on.
Right. Which
so I should
is
have
just
switched
fine.
It to heat. No, because then it's going to keep dropping. It's going to be 62 when you wake up. Nobody wants to wake up when it's frigid.
Well, 62, first of all, is not frigid.
In a house that's cold.
Oh, I woke up in the morning on Saturday morning, opened up all the doors and windows. By the time we were ready to start the day, it was about 58 in the house.
No one's house should be 58 degrees.
Oh, yeah, and then I close all the windows and try and trap that cold air inside. Now I've got free AC.
I get the energy savings. I don't get wanting my house to be 58 degrees.
You can wear a sweatshirt.
I mean, poor Heather's going to have three sweaters on if we don't touch the thermostat 58. In here.
I had my winter coat out Saturday morning. And it was
but you were at a soccer game.
It was cold out. And I would have had that.
Was.
I wouldn't have taken my coat off in the house. I would have had the coat on in the house had it been 58 in my house.
It was perfect. It was perfect.
We keep our house 70. Yes.
I haven't had the heat.
I was going to say, we're in low 70s.
I haven't had the heat turned on for near a month.
No, neither have we. Oh, yes, we must have.
Late at night so it doesn't get too cold.
In order to keep the house at a certain temperature.
Yes. No.
You're not really running it as much as you are maintaining at that point.
Free AC.
Okay.
Free AC.
Whatever.
Yes. Weirdos.
So you're comfortable in this. You walked in today, short sleeve shirt on, and thought,
I'm fine.
Heather and I
mean, I it is chilly. I mean, I checked to make sure for your guys' comfort.
Oh, wow.
That
so
it was a little bit warmer, yeah.
I like that our show can compromise.
And I instantly see Heather shivering. In
under
her
a
seat,
blanket.
Yeah, under a blanket.
I do like that we can compromise because
because
the midday show, that is a war that people don't realize behind the scenes.
Yeah.
Doug would do the show from a sauna if given the choice.
Yes. And I'm pretty sure he probably has at one point.
I think I asked him off air and I think he confirmed. Some radio remote of yesteryear, he's done it. All right, we have a lot to do today. Two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. And how about this? We got Brad Holmes.
I know. I can't wait.
9 o'clock. A lot to talk about with him following the draft. And we're all excited about where the team's headed. Mm-hmm. A good question.
Are you going to ask him the question? Can Tesla rush the passer?
Brad, was it a swim move or a bull rush that won you over when you turned on the tape? I do want to know.
I mean, if he can beat bump and run coverage, press man, you would think he'd be able to beat an offensive tackle, right?
I don't know if Brad has my sense of humor. I do want to ask about that pick in particular, and I do want to ask about edge rush in particular, but probably not going to combine the two in a snarky question.
Okay. At least not today.
Not today. Okay. But we do have an interesting question with the Lions taking inventory post-draft coming up at 6:35. John, the Tigers last night, they weren't going to win them all. What's the takeaway?
It was a bummer. It was an absolute bummer because Jack Flaherty started out really good. And it was fun to watch. We saw Kerry Carpenter go yard. We saw Riley Green go yard twice. The last one was kind of insignificant because they were already, they were both kind of insignificant at that point. But the Tigers have been really good in the field. And even last night, Spencer Torkelson at first base. He's had a good glove. Hotline drives. He is making some really good plays. We've talked about Jace Young and even Trey Sweeney with the glove. But then all of a sudden, when the ball goes from glove to hand, things change a little bit for Trey Sweeney. A couple of errors last night that were costly, and it just is disappointing.
If I ranked the reasons they lost last night, number one would be the errors in that seventh inning. Because that's the inning that things really started to get away. That's when they put up four, created some distance. Trey Sweeney, not one, but two errors. And I was listening to radio broadcast live at the time, and Dickerson and Bobby Scales had said, he's been having some trouble with some throws recently. We don't want to use the Y word, but they've noticed a little bit of a trend with Sweeney and need to get that right.
Yeah, I think the number one reason was the home runs given up.
So Flaherty had given up four runs. They ended up scoring five. The issue is the game got away from him in the seventh inning. The second reason would be Flaherty, and the third reason would be they only had five hits. Now, it's nice when three of them are homers, but five hits going to be tough to win.
Five hits, 12 strikeouts. Yeah. And, they're still forcing opposing pitchers to throw more pitches, but if you eventually, those need to turn into, you can have good at-bats where you make a pitcher go 10, 11, 12 pitches, but they need to end with somebody on base, whether it's a earned walk or a single, double, triple, whatever. They need to end more with guys on base. And the Tigers have been really good at that. So last night, okay, it's a loss. They weren't going to win all of them for the rest of the season, but that's just a disappointing one. And now hopefully with Reese Olson, they get back on track tonight.
Faced assassin, 8:10, first pitch. Mm-hmm. Can you explain the concept of the yips? I don't know if there's a football equivalent. Like, we see it in baseball where guys, you can't throw over to first base, or that maybe Sweeney's dealing with something right now, or that's a tailor-made double play, just throw it from short to second. He's perfectly capable. He's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
What is it? Is there a football yips?
There can be. I don't know if there's football yips, but there are guys that maybe you struggle against that they're just not good players, and you struggle to block them, and you can't figure out why, because you've beaten good players, and then all of a sudden you get this one where you're like, this is not that special, but I can't seem to block them. And you get just mental blocks like that. And the only other yips you could have, and we saw it last year with one of our local guys, not playing for one of our teams, but Jake Moody.
Oh, yeah. Kickers.
I mean,
your favorite.
Yeah. They got one job. Like, a shortstop at least has to hit, has to ground, field and throw. Then throw. And you could have yips in one of the areas, but yeah, kickers can certainly have the yips.
Could be head cases. I mean, it's all mental.
Well, it is. And we love the fact that Jake Bates has been really good. At some point in every kicker's career, they're going to miss a couple of kicks where you're like, what the hell was that? And you have no idea why. And it's just, how quickly can they come out of that?
So you're asking if there's any reason, or what's the common theme to getting the yips in sports? I would have to say the only thing I can think of is maybe sitting around, standing around and thinking. So kickers, I think a baseball player has a lot of downtime.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they just start thinking. They'll never probably admit how much they think about it, and it consumes them. If you let something take you over and consume you, you're fried mentally.
Yeah.
You're toast. I think in football, like John said, yeah, you can get down about you got this one guy that just gets the best of you. Like, you got the best of Strahan. You know, you got the best of a Hall of Famer. He admitted it. But you don't have enough time. Because you're going to get exposed, and you're going to get pulled off the field.
Right.
A hockey, no downtime.
It moves too quick. Now, free throws in basketball, bowling, sure.
Maybe that's why I never had the yips, is if you have to think too much, I've never been accused of thinking too much.
John Jansen, a deep thinker, not exactly.
Yeah, not on the Wikipedia page.
You just think
for sure.
A lot about your air conditioning, right? Your thermostat?
Yeah, apparently I do.
Man's broadcast. It's almost 58 degrees this last week.
It's ridiculous. It was beautiful.
248-539-9797.
All your daughters were just shivering cold.
And I've told them, you can put on a sweatshirt. Yeah.
Can I add one more element that I think is part of the yips? Fine motor skills. Accuracy of kick. If you miss it by a little bit, it's going to go a direction you don't want to go. Throwing over to first base. John, you're not going to have yips because you're gross motor skills. You're running and smashing into another human being.
Yeah, but there are some fine things that you have to do as well.
No, Greg's saying you just ram
just
your big body
gross.
Into somebody
he just
else.
Just called me gross. That's what I heard.
Yeah, you offensive lineman, you just bang bodies. That's all you do. There's no
technique.
You
know what? And how about, we just saw the Masters.
Putting?
It's putting. Bryson DeChambeau, you don't think that he's sitting there going and overthinking some putts? I think that's a great point, though, is that when you have more time to think about it, if you can mentally block out all the things that can go wrong and just go out there and play and just think about the things that can go right. That's why visualization is such a big part of the success of athletes. How many times have you heard Jordan talk about visualization? We've heard other great athletes talk about them visualizing and actually seeing things the positive way before they actually happen.
I mean, even when I was playing high school football, our coaches would talk about that, you know?
Oh, yeah?
You go to sleep the night before.
Did you visualize a bunch of pancakes?
Yeah, that's right. Of course I did. Only in my dreams. All right, coming up next, we got big stuff tonight. You got the Tigers. You got a Pistons playoff game. There's also appointment viewing as early as 2 o'clock later today. We'll tell you about that next. It's 97.1.
FanDuel is the first sportsbook app where you can bet the Kentucky Derby. And right now, all customers can get a no-sweat Derby bet. That means you're going to... You'll get racing bonus back if your bet doesn't win. The app is super easy to use, and you don't have to be a horse racing expert to get in on the Derby Day action. All you have to do is bet America's number one race with America's number one sportsbook. Visit FanDuel.com/971Detroit. That's FanDuel.com/971Detroit for your chance to get a no-sweat bet for the Kentucky Derby. Must be 21 or over and present in Michigan. Opt-in required. Verified FD racing account required. Refund issued is non-withdrawable racing site credit that expires 9 days after receipt. Max refund $10 unless otherwise specified. Restrictions apply. See terms at racing.fanduel.com. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Two-homer day for Riley Green. Tigers lose 8-5 in Houston. Back at it tonight at 8:10. You've got the Pistons playing a playoff game. And you've got some appointment TV and radio as early as 2 o'clock today.
Mm.
Steve Yzerman, press conference carried live today on our station. He'll speak at 2 o'clock, state of the organization. I'm sure there's a lot of questions people want answers to.
Very interesting.
We have some ticket text, John.
Okay.
Warning, the SMARM Update Center has predicted an outbreak at 9 a.m. this morning. Stay safe out there, signed Mike. I'll be on my best behavior. We don't need to have... did you see Brandon Bean of the Bills go off on radio hosts yesterday?
Yeah, you were playing that for us there at the break. That is... The one thing we can appreciate about Brad Holmes is he's been asked the question... repeatedly, edge guy, edge guy, edge guy, edge opposite Aiden Hutchinson, pass rush, pass rush, pass rush. He never loses his cool. He always answers it. And sometimes there's an annoyance to his voice, but he never loses it like Bean did.
No, look,
Mr. Bean.
I am known to annoy, and we will ask about Edge, and we'll ask, we understand they tried to trade up for an Edge. He'll give us some clarity I mean, Brad's pretty good about that, too. Ticket Texter says, yips in sports. Goalies in hockey have those. Signed, Goalie Mom. Receivers in football would be the yips. The dropsies. All mental. Receivers can have the yips. Quarterback can hit them on the numbers all day, but they just keep dropping the ball.
Mm-hmm.
On the temperature, Jeff Rieger was on the air yesterday bitching about how hot the studio was. The morning freeze is 100% his inconsiderate ass, Brian, at work.
We figured it out.
Yeah, he would have been on the short list even without the ticket text. John is already telling Jim to put his big boy pants on. I'm with Jansen. This morning's kind of gross. Yesterday was beautiful. The house is at 65. We have blankets for when people get cold.
That's right. Yep.
John might be a serial killer. 58 degrees. That's crazy.
It was lovely. It was perfect, to be honest with you.
To you and probably to you only.
No, my wife likes it cold too.
Okay. On the same page there.
Yeah.
You like
yeah.
to sleep cold?
Oh, yes. You definitely have to sleep cold. There's sure. no question about that. Got to sleep cold. It's studies have proven that a cool night's sleep is a better night's sleep.
Yeah, I like a cold night's sleep.
Yeah. No one likes to wake up sweaty.
Oh, no.
No.
Oh, no.
No, I mean, no one wants to sleep and they're hot. I like blankets, too. Like, I like sleeping with a blanket and I don't want it to be hot and then not need the blanket.
Right. So, cool it off.
I agree with that.
Just not 58 degrees.
And not all day when I'm
well,
up and
I
at
mean,
it.
The sunshine does warm up the house. Living in the house weirdly warms up the house.
Yeah. All right, we got two Grand Slam coming up at 7:25. Let's get to Heather with the news.
Well, here's some good news. The person responsible for dumping those kittens at a Detroit gas station earlier this month has been found and has been charged. 25-year-old Redford man Brandon Little is facing one count of killing or torturing animals and one count of abandoning 2 to 3 animals. Obviously, you might have even seen the video, but he's accused of throwing these two kittens from his moving vehicle, running one of them over, obviously killing that cat. He then fled the scene, and the whole thing was caught on surveillance video, started circulating social media. Police were notified. Obviously, they found him. He was arraigned on April 27th. He was given a $25,000 personal bond. The Wayne County prosecutor, Kim Worthy, said no living being should ever be thrown from a moving vehicle ever. The alleged actions of the defendant in this case are criminal and not acceptable on any level. So, you knew he was going to be found sometime with the videos that circulated, right? But I'm glad he was found. A 21-year-old Farmington Hills man charged with assaulting an old man in a gym locker room last year has been found guilty by a jury. Malik Smith got into a fight with an 80-year-old man in the locker room of the Farmington YMCA. And there was a witness to this fight. You might remember this. Former University of Michigan wide receiver Braylon Edwards was there at the YMCA.
Yeah.
We talked about it when this fight happened, and he wasn't like watching this fight go down. I think he would have intervened earlier had he known what was happening, but was at the gym in the locker room when he heard this scuffle. He saw Smith grab the back of the victim's head by the hair and was like about to slam his head on the counter. That's when he jumped in, pulled Smith away from this old man. The victim, though, was left unconscious and bleeding, had to go to the hospital after this assault. So this young man, Smith, faces up to 10 years in prison. He's expected to be sentenced on May 20th. So, yeah. Not good. Detroit Lions running back Jahmyr Gibbs almost ended up on the New York Jets. So former Jets GM Joe Douglas revealed that the Jets were dead set on drafting Gibbs with the number 15 overall pick in 2023 and didn't expect any other team, obviously, to pick him before they did.
I remember this was a rumor at the time that the reason Brad took Gibbs is someone else was going to grab him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, here you go.
Yeah. Well done.
You know, I usually do this topic of, are we ever going to see this thing in sports? Indiana play in the Big Ten title game in football. Yeah. Four Final Four teams that are the same from a previous year. Are we ever going to see hear the GM that admits that they wanted the draft bust pick? Oh, man, I really wanted Mac Jones. You know, I was set up to trade up and get him, and then the Patriots grabbed him.
We were goo goo gaga over Trey Lance, and we just never had the chance to take him. Yeah. Damn shame. It's a fair point.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to draft the good players.
I want it on the record as a now fired general manager. I liked the good players and did not like the bad players.
Yeah, I just wasn't able to draft the good ones.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we're all about to experience the roller coaster ride of spring as temperatures in Southeast Michigan this week are forecast to swing widely. So be prepared. So meteorologists say that after our sunny and warm day on Monday, today could be even warmer. It's going to be even warmer. If you stepped outside yet, you'd feel it. We're expected to reach the high in the 80s. The average temperature for this time of year is 64, so very, very warm. We could also experience some heavy thunderstorms, isolated tornado even today. So it's going to be a crazy day. Then cooler air is going to sweep in, and then Wednesday's high will be in the 60s.
Perfect. So on average.
Yeah, so that's good, but it's just going from... Yeah, it is nice. You're laughing, but
I'm laughing because, we're going to get to average. We're just going to have to go through all the experiences to get there.
Exactly. Yeah. And then wet conditions are expected to return on Thursday and Friday. Remain in the 60s throughout the weekend. But anyway, just get ready for some heat, some rain, some cool, some more rain.
Mm-hmm.
So, I got one more for you here. An accused drug dealer in Texas is facing charges after he ran an Easter promo, which is kind of really interesting, I guess, where he hid weed in plastic eggs and then gave customers hints on where to find them. So it's kind of, a creative idea to get some business. But so he told people that whoever shopped with him would get these hints to find out where these eggs were hidden, right? So he hid 5 eggs. Police found 4 of them. And the 5th egg was found in the park by a little girl and her grandpa.
Oh, no.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So
I'm taking it they weren't customers.
They were not
the
customers.
The police and the grandmother?
No. And most of them were hidden in parks, which maybe
are
not the best.
Are you kidding me? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So anyway,
What state is this in?
This is in Texas.
Where it's not legal.
Well, yeah.
That's the other.
I wasn't even thinking about that. Because
you could do something like that here.
Could you? Can you hide eggs where little kids can find them?
You're right. That's where you get in trouble.
Come on, Jim.
Maybe you could hide them throughout your store.
Sure. Yes, yes.
Maybe.
Would you like to hunt
egg
in my store?
That's not
as fun. I'm not sure. I don't think so. Anyway, kind of a cool idea.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe if it wasn't weed.
Sure. A number of reasons where they screwed up there. Yeah. Heather with the news. All right. Coming up next, the Lions. Are you more or less confident that this team can win the Super Bowl? Roster's mostly set after the draft. It's 97-1. All right, guys, if you're injured in a car accident, you're looking for help. And if you need help, let me tell you about KG Law. There's a law firm out there that really and truly cares about you. I know Lawrence KG. I've met with him. I met with his team, and a lot of those people have been with him from the start. He's built his business the right way. They don't cut corners. They're fighting to get you the biggest settlement possible, and they're not going to park your case where you're sitting in the dark and you have no idea what the updates are or who you can even contact. If you or a loved one has been injured in a car accident, you need to call KG Law now. K-A-J-Y. That's kgcares.com. kgcares.com. They put up 4 in that 7th inning. Trey Sweeney with both errors. A throw over to first and then a tailor-made double play that he completely airmailed.
Yeah, it was weird. It's not even close.
No, tailor made. For a major
league
ball
player. You get yourself
player.
Out of your own jam. Instead, you make it worse.
Yeah, good point.
Double down on not a good thing.
And look, you could look at last night's game, and we're not going to sound the alarms. You're going to lose some games. But if you wanted to blame anything from last night, you'd point to Flaherty giving up a couple homers, and you'd point to the errors in the 7th, and you'd point to only 5 hits. Although, 3 of them are homers. Just not enough. They lost 8-5. That's Dan Dickerson on the call.
Still best record in the American League.
Still the best. 7-0-2, the Pistons on the brink. Is it over or not? And I have a plea. If they're going to go down swinging. Not literally swinging. I know it's been a chippy series.
Yes.
But I'll explain that top of the hour. The Lions. John, you pointed this out. It's rather astute. The roster is largely set now.
Yeah.
They may make a move. And hey, it's serious to make a lot of sense. But as they sit today... Free agency is mostly done. The draft is all the way done. Are you more or less confident that this team can win the Super Bowl? And we want to throw that out to you guys as well. It's a time to take inventory post-draft. 248-539-9797.
Your answer?
I hate doing this because I'm going to be the bad guy. I think they're a Super Bowl contender, but I feel less confident than I did last year.
Okay.
And some of this is the obvious edge spot that's unaddressed. The draft itself was quality, but I think it was an extender draft more than it was a draft that made them considerably better.
Mm-hmm.
Tyleek Williams helps extend this without Aleem McNeil. Bringing in Ratledge helps you replace the loss of Zeitler. You just kind of stay in the course as one of the contenders. I don't think they got out in front and made themselves a more aggressive contender, so I feel less confident.
So they didn't directly address the edge. And this is where you get into some of the gray area. They only had Aiden Hutchinson for five games last year. And, I mean, who knows how many he plays this year. I do believe that he will be healthy and 100% before the regular season. So, indirectly, he'll be back in that edge position.
But with him, the last couple seasons, they have not had any production opposite him.
Not a lot of production, no, in terms of sacks. Their quarterback pressure rate, they were number 11 last year. And this is with Aiden Hutchinson only playing five games. So if he's back and he plays, I don't know, just say 15 of the 17. We would hope 17 of the 17. But if he plays 15 of the 17, wouldn't you expect that this team, instead of a quarterback pressure rate that would land them 11th, that they might actually be 6 or 7 with the full season of Aiden Hutchinson?
But potentially. I do want to push back a little bit, though. Pressures matter. Yeah. Sacks are the most important,
right,
because the play
ends.
Don't
we also agree that they'll get more sacks with Aiden Hutchinson?
23rd in sacks last year. And again, I'll point out they have not had a true running mate for Aiden since that burst of James Houston in 2022. We're talking 3 years coming up on.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a fair question if you're going to dethrone the greats in the game to not have a pass rush from both sides.
They've addressed the Aleem McNeil while he is out.
But that's breaking even, right?
At best.
Yeah.
At best.
And at best, a rookie replaces Zeitler. At best.
Well, yeah, but they have more depth, at least we believe more quality depth on that offensive line. So if Mahogany misses a game or two, insert Graham Glasgow. If Ratledge misses a game or two, insert Graham Glasgow. I think both of those guys, for where Graham is in his career, and I don't want to discount what he's been able to do. He's been very good, very productive. Last year was not his best year. And now you have two younger players that presumably will be healthier, that will be a little bit more resilient throughout the course of the season and not miss some games at the end due to, basically maintenance. And now you have Graham to be able to back up all three of those spots inside. You still have a Wusika, who we know is coming and played well. You've got Dan Skipper as your swing tackle. We don't know yet, and I'm not going to make any predictions about what Giovanni Manu will be. I would hope that at some point we see him as a reliable backup for one of those tackle spots. We'll see. But I think on the offensive line, it's actually a little bit of a net gain. Tim Patrick, second year of the offense, and you have Tesla in there to bolster the depth. What was the conversation going into the season last year? What are they doing at wide receiver 3? That was the big part of the conversation. And another part of the conversation was, what are they doing with kicker? We had no idea what Jake Bates was going to be. Now, he's pretty good last year, and I think he'll be even a tick better, a little more confidence, a little bit more set in his position. And then defensively, a lot of the improvements are just going to be coming with, I do think DJ Reed is at least as good as Carlton Davis, maybe a bit of an upgrade. Amik Robertson, second year of this system. Terrion Arnold. Second year. We expect him to take a jump, and we expect at some point for Ennis Rakestraw to be a part of the conversation. I think there is, on the player side of things, and we haven't even talked about, we talked a little bit about the offense. I think there's a net minimal gain, but there is a gain from where they were at this point last year to where they are this year. Now, the biggest question, which I thought this was where you were going to attack me on this.
What?
Coordinators.
Yeah, but I didn't make a big deal about it at the time, so I don't want to come out now and try to force something that's not there. I think the offense will continue to be very good. Ben Johnson said that on the way out. He goes, this thing is built for it. They bring in Johnny Morton, who was on this staff previously. Yep. He'll put his own spin on it, but it's still Dan Campbell steering the ship, and Jared Goff is the quarterback, and this offensive line is there, and the tailbacks are there, and St. Brown and LaPorta and J-Mo. I think the offense will continue to be very good. Maybe not number one, but one of the four or five best in the league. Defensively, I think that's a question.
Calvin Shepard's never been a play caller.
Yeah.
And he has, although we did learn that there were times throughout the course of the preseason that he was allowed to call some plays.
And I think the personnel is more of a question on that side of the ball, right? If you're working with better players on offense, I think that helps smooth the transition.
Yeah, but I also think on defense, I mean, you're going to get Malcolm Rodriguez back. You're getting Derek Barnes back. Alex Anzalone's there. And he may actually be the backup to Jack Campbell at this point, because Jack Campbell now going into year three, I expect him to take another step forward. And I thought he played really well last year. Brian Branch in year three, expect him to be better than in year two. Kirby Joseph, I don't know that Kirby Joseph can outproduce what he did last year leading the NFL. And some of the interceptions are opportunistic.
Yeah.
You know, the ball just kind of somewhat has to come your way. You have to obviously be in position to make those plays. And some of them were just him being good. But at Kirby Joseph, it's a wash, at least.
Few ticket texts that have already started to come in. Again, open lines on this. More or less confident now that the roster is mostly set. More or less confident that they will win the Super Bowl. First text, I feel less confident because the Eagles got so much better. You have a puzzled look on your face.
Yeah.
They lost some dudes.
They lost some dudes, yeah.
They lost Milton Williams in the middle. They lost Sweat on the end.
Mm-hmm.
I like Jihad Campbell.
Darius Slay's not there anymore either.
Slay's gone, but they do have a couple nice corners that they can slot in.
The impact of not having a veteran around,
I think that's significant.
Look, I think the Eagles offseason, because I was kind of looking at it when these texts came in just to refresh myself, it's been kind of neutral.
Yeah, so I think the Lions have been kind of neutral, right?
Yeah, and I think what happened at the end of last year is the Eagles were better than the Lions when the Lions were healthy. I do. To me, that's why
kind of impossible to judge that.
It's just my opinion. I think one of the things that happened late in the year, we talked about this when the Eagles won it, was just how dominating they were late in the season, and that especially that late regular season win at Baltimore. We probably overlooked that a little bit. I mean, they're just so strong in the trenches.
Yeah, I mean, the only offensive line that rivals Detroit's is Philly. Tech of Texture says, Cookie, your obsession with the edge is jading your views on the Lions. When the roster took the field last year before Hutch went down, were you not saying they could win it all? How did they get worse? I'm not saying they can't win it all, to be clear. Yeah. I think they're in the tier of, I don't know, what would you say, 3 to 5 teams that are best positioned to win the Super Bowl?
Sure.
Do I feel better than I did a year ago? No. I still think they're in that same group.
Part of why I feel better about it as well, and I'll tell you about that, it has nothing to do with the roster in terms of talent. It has nothing to do with the coaches and who's calling plays and whose offense this is. But when we return, I'll let you know exactly why I think it is.
Oh, he's got us on the edge of our seats. 97.1.
Hey, at First Merchants Bank, they believe that real value comes from building strong communities and relationships. With their new branch opening in the Fitzgerald neighborhood of Detroit, First Merchants Bank is excited to offer a banking experience that's welcoming, attentive, and dependable. Their easy-to-use, secure, and highly rated app makes everyday banking an absolute breeze, allowing you to manage your accounts on the go, and their local attentive bankers are your partners in success. They take the time to get to know you, give sound advice, and provide solutions that work for you, the individual. In fact, that's exactly what they've done for me over the years. They've also done it for my entire family and why they're my personal financial partner. With a passion for fostering community development, their team is committed to helping you and your neighborhood prosper. Experience the difference of banking with an award-winning bank that truly cares about your individual financial journey. Visit firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald to learn more about how they can help support you as well. That's firstmerchants.com/Fitzgerald. First Merchants Bank, helping you prosper. Member FDIC.
Question for you guys. Draft is done. Roster's mostly set. Do you feel more or less confident that this team will win the Super Bowl?
Yeah, and I'd love to hear from our listeners as to why Why is it you feel more confident this year, or why is it that you feel less confident than you did a year ago?
People are doing just that on the ticket text. Less confident because of Goff's 4-interception playoff game. The guy is still here, still the quarterback. He's also the guy that won 2 playoff games the year before and played well enough to win 3 the year before. Mm-hmm. He does come with some...
There's some baggage.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's positives, there's negatives. And I think if this offense is going to operate the way it did last year, and as Ben Johnson mentioned, the train will stay on the tracks, it's in large part because of the upside of Jared Goff.
And they're reinforcing the trenches. They'll still run the football. They'll still play action pass. They'll do all the things you need to do to help Jared Goff be the most successful quarterback he can be. We are forgetting health will simply make this roster that much better in and of itself.
So this That's a huge part of it, sure.
Did you also have to factor in that the schedule for 2025 is 3 times tougher? I feel less confident.
Okay, you can be as you can be confident that schedule will better prepare them for the playoffs, and their record might not be 15-2, could be 12-5. Thank you. Could be 11-6. Hell, it could be 10-7.
But you'd feel less confident knowing you got to win multiple road playoff games than getting all of it at home, wouldn't you?
Well, I mean, going into the playoffs 2 years ago, you thought you were only going to have 1 playoff game.
Right, but it's an uphill climb.
Yeah. Sure, there's no question about it.
So signing up for an uphill climb would make you less confident.
By the way, the schedule game, the Eagles have a very hard schedule, too. They have to play a first place schedule, but they also have to play the AFC West, which is the gauntlet of coaches right now. Every coach has appeared in a Super Bowl and 3 have won it.
Yeah. So
that's a good point.
I mean, you can have a worse regular season record, but still be a better team. That's very possible and might be likely this year.
Well, that's what John in Lake Orion says. They are as much of a Super Bowl contender as they were last year. The problem is they won't go 15-2, so fans will freak out.
Well, that's going to be the easy take, is that they won't go 15-2. We don't know. I'm reserving my schedule prediction until we actually hear what that schedule looks like.
A couple weeks away, 2 weeks from Thursday.
But the reason I think that it has nothing to do with talent on the field, has nothing to do with health, it has nothing to do with who's calling the plays on either side. Every time I've been around any of these guys this offseason, and I've seen Sewell and I've seen Goff and saw Rodrigo last week for the draft, I've had a chance to be around them and some of the coaches as well. There's an edge to these guys. They certainly... There was an edge coming off of the NFC Championship loss, and we heard it from Penei Sewell, and how much he watched that game and what that game did to him. There is an absolute edge to these guys about how this season ended against Washington at Ford Field. And I don't necessarily want to call it an embarrassment that is creating this edge, but just an unbelievable disappointment that they are feeling, a missed opportunity that they're feeling about both years. They know that there is a window. They know that they've had some great opportunities and have come up short. And there's an edge with, and we've heard Dan Campbell talk about how do you reset and get back to work. And I have all the confidence in the world that he's going to set that tone. He's already set that tone with the team. But that the leaders of this team that are now a year more advanced, Penei Sewell, who is what, 4th year?
He's a stud.
Going into his 5th year. Amon-Ra St. Brown, there's no one more driven than him, that it's going to permeate again throughout the rest of the team, and that edge is really what's going to is also what's telling me that this team is going to be more successful this year than they were last year. And it might not be a 15-2 regular season record.
Someone say edge.
Oh, geez.
I'm not going there yet.
You're such a dork.
But you walked me right into that. Ticket Texter says, hey, Cookies, maybe Chapman could play edge for the Lions this season. Him or Bregman, LOL. They'll add Za'Darius. They're going to be fine. They'll be headed back. I think Za'Darius makes a lot of sense, especially at this point. Texter says, for as dominant as the Eagles were, weren't they an incomplete pass away from being knocked out of the playoffs in the second round by the Rams at home?
Yeah, I mean, they also gave up 5 sacks in that game. That vaunted offensive line. Now, they found a way to win that game. In the snow, they did what they had to do, and obviously they went on to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but let's not downplay what the Eagles did. They won 15 of their last 16 games, 1 loss from early October till the end of the season. That only loss, their quarterback got hurt in that game. And in the playoffs, they won three of the four games by double digits, including the Super Bowl. They literally discoed their way through the playoffs and won the Super Bowl. And we said they had a neutral offseason. So I'm going to be very cautious to say the Lions are better. I think they held serve, and we're going to have a hell of a chase between the two of them. But I don't feel better or more confident knowing that they're still out there, and we did not get better.
I'm not saying right now that they're better than the Eagles.
Oh, okay.
I'm not saying that. I'm saying they're worse than the Eagles. We won't know until they actually face off. But what I'm saying is I believe that they're a better team. The Lions are a better team right now, more prepared for this upcoming season than they were last year.
How about another contender that may be making some moves that stand out? The Commanders upgrading their offensive line this offseason should be scary for the Lions. Tunsil and then a first-round pick on an offensive tackle. Already couldn't get to him in the playoff. Mm-hmm. Are they reinforcing that so that he can be a problem for years to come? Yeah, looks like it.
No question they are. They're going to be a problem.
So if we think the Lions effectively held serve but are going to be healthy, the Eagles had a neutral offseason, but here come the Commanders, right?
Here come the Commanders. Here come the Vikings, the Packers, the Bears. Like, it's going to be a tougher division. We talk about the schedule, and yeah, I know that they're playing a first-place schedule. You're going to play all those other first-place teams, but it's also going to be tougher in division.
Let's get to Kevin and Warren. Kevin, good morning.
Good morning, guys. Hey, I was listening here a couple minutes ago, and I heard the infamous words, the window they have to win. I guess, you know what, Bill Belichick missed that memo about there being a window, because if I'm not mistaken, his window was probably 10 or 12 years, maybe more.
Yeah, it was more, 20 years, but there was a big gap in the middle as well.
Yeah, so anyways, there is, and I'm bullish on the Lions. I think they're going to be fantastic, and I'm just so happy that we've got this kind of team to root for after, you know, 50 years of futility. But, you know, there's things besides these 4 or 5 years that we're really going to try to keep a winning attitude and go after championships year after year after year. So with the leadership we got between Dan Holmes, Brad Holmes and Dan Campbell, I think the future is looking very bright. And I think our window is longer than people give us credit for.
I hope you're right. I think you're right as well. I think it's going to be a little bit longer.
But it is ridiculous to compare it to the Patriots. They had this guy named Tom Brady at quarterback that tends to give you a second decade to compete. And you're right, John, they did have to pivot. The early Patriots teams were built on guys like Teddy Bruschi and Rodney Harrison and defense. And that window closed because it always does, because players have a shelf life. And then if you're really good at your job, and we think Holmes is, you'll reboot with a completely different group that'll have their own window. That's how this works. The idea that you're going to draft guys and they're going to spend 15 years together, all playing together, and you're going to chase 10 to 15 Super Bowls is fantasy land. It's fairy tale stuff.
And the difficult thing for all of those other teams that are trying to reboot is Bill Belichick and the New England Patriots did it with one quarterback, and he remained playing at a high level for two decades. I think Jared Goff is a very good quarterback. I don't know that he is going to be as good as he is now in 6 or 7 years. I don't even know that he's here in 6 or 7 years. And it's not a slight on Jared Goff. It's just
reality.
It's going to be another hurdle that New England in that 20-year run didn't have to face.
All right, lot to do on the show today. 2 hours away from Brad Holmes. 9:02, he joins the show live. We'll talk to the Lions general manager. 8:02. We have an emergency cookie jar today.
Uh-oh.
Break glass situation, a crazy internet debate that we will weigh in about an hour. We'll get back into the Lions, take inventory of the NFC North post-draft. We've got the 2 Grand Slam at 7:25. And after the update, Pistons facing elimination. It's 97-1.